Good morning. Thank you so much for having me and inviting me. And Pastor, thank you. Thank you for leading a congregation that will stand and do the right thing. I know that you have stood against the storm for quite some time. And as people are finding out in New York, including my family today, storms can be pretty nasty. But if you're prepared and you know what's true and you know what matters, you will stand and you will thrive. I will tell you that everything he said at the beginning of the service, where he asked you to raise your hand, if he asked you to, there was a part of me that wanted to be an octopus because I ran out of hands to put all over me. Because I'm like, I need to do that one too. It's like some weird spiritual twister game all of a sudden. But I want to start by testifying to you that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior and Redeemer. I was about as low as I could possibly get. I had violated absolutely everything he had asked me to do. I was riddled with addiction. And there was no hope. It was what Moses talked about. Choose life or death. When I was down on my apartment that I could barely afford, I was down on my apartment floor. I think it was $700 a month, and I could not make ends meet. And I was on the floor, rolled up in a ball, and I had nowhere else to turn. I had a choice, life or death. I turned it over to him. And I remember when I got into the waters of baptism, in my head, I was shouting at the Lord. And I told him, in my arrogance still at this time, you promised me that you will take all of my sins, all of the things that I've done, and you will erase them if I just do what you tell me to do. In my arrogance, I said to him, you cease to be God if you break your promise. I will not break my word. You cease to be God if you break yours. I have a much more mature understanding over 10 years. I was desperate when I said it, but I meant it. And I'm never going back to that darkness ever again. God is a God of miracles, and if he can save a wretch like me, he can save anybody. When David was talking, he was talking about rights and responsibilities, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I have a right to be happy. No, I don't. I have a responsibility to be happy. It is a choice, life or death. Choose to be happy. I have a right to prosperity. No, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility not to be a burden on others, but to have some success so you can help others. We have a responsibility to be able to have wealth to restart the country so we're not all slaves. You have a responsibility to protect and grow your wealth. We have a promise that we have a right to be separated from fear. We have a responsibility to not be fearful. Fear does not come from the Lord. I sat with Billy Graham about 8 months ago. And I was supposed to meet with him in an hour, and I think we spent about six. And I learned an awful lot from him. But one of the first questions he asked me, because I told him what I felt was coming in my life, and I needed his advice. And he sat there for a while, and he said, "You think you've heard this from the Lord?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "Tell me how you know. How do you know when something's coming from the Lord?" I said, "Well, it doesn't disagree with scriptures, because the Lord keeps his covenants. He doesn't speak untruth. So if it doesn't match, something's wrong. Second thing is, it's always quiet. I feel peaceful. No matter what the Lord is telling me to do, it comes with peace. Fear, if it's coming with fear, if I'm motivated to do something through fear, it's not from the Lord." He said, "Good, good." He said, a little like Yoda, "But be afraid." "Oh, you will be." It's easy, though, to conquer the fear. And I come to you today to tell you, let me get the basic Israel stuff out on the table. First of all, Israel has a right and a responsibility to exist as a Jewish state with defensible borders. Two, Israel is not an oppressor nation, and they have the responsibility to remain that way. Three, Israel is not engaging in genocide. Anyone who thinks they are, go crack open a history book and look up what genocide is. And four, it's not a state of apartheid. I know apartheid state exists with the Palestinians, and it is not Israel. It is other nations. And I just got back from South Africa. I've seen what apartheid does, what it was, and how it was conquered, period. That is where we need to stand on Israel, and if people are engaging you in nonsense like that, dismiss them. Coming in September, and I think this is why the Lord, look, I didn't want to go to Israel. I got a note, to be real honest with you, from my business partner, as I was in South Africa, and I just said to him, "How's the staff?" The Lord is taking me on a journey, and I don't have a right to ask anyone to come on that journey with me. I have people who signed up to do television or radio, not to be standing next to a guy who's saying things that the entire world says is dangerous and crazy and we're going to kill you for. I don't have a right to ask anyone to stand by me. And I thought I had made that clear to my staff, but when they got to Jerusalem and there were shootings, the biggest number of death in a long time, and then they found three suicide vests in the old city of Jerusalem the day before. And Jerusalem was on its highest alert. It has been on for a long time. And I looked and I saw the fear in the eyes of many members of my staff. They were the ones who hadn't done their homework yet, who hadn't decided, we are in an epic battle. This is a war. It's a spiritual war. And my business partner said to me, "You almost lost about half the staff this week." He said, "You got to slow down. You got to slow down." And my message to them when I get back to New York is, I love you. And you don't ever have to stand with me, and you can have a job for the rest of your life. You don't have to stand with me. But I am not slowing down. For those who want to go with me, buckle up. Because what's happening in September? The Durban Conference is coming in September. Most people don't know what it is. Look it up. It is extraordinarily dangerous. It's all the nut jobs in the world getting together and saying, let's define evil. Here it is. Starts with an I. It is a global conference with the UN, and it is evil. Just a few days before that, they have with leftists that want to destroy America and destroy Israel, they're having marches, the Take the Banks, Take Wall Street, and it is happening coordinated in Israel and in Spain and in London, in Italy and in America. That's starting on September 17th. It's an evil that I told you about if you watched my show about a year ago. It's coming, and it is only about 3 days before the Durban Conference. And then right after the Durban Conference, Palestinians roll right in to get the United Nations to declare that Israel is the bad guy, and most likely it's going to happen. Then, as I found out when I was in South Africa, they're having another conference in South Africa. District 6 is where apartheid happened, and they just pulled everybody out, and they pushed them, and they made them live in shanty towns. It was awful what happened. Well, there's a museum there about apartheid. They are having a trial of Israel in that museum in November, and they are going to declare Israel an apartheid state. It is a lie. And as I see these things that are coming, I have been overwhelmed. I have been looking at this, studying this, and praying on this. The Lord has given me about 4 hours of sleep for about 10 years. He wakes me up in the middle of the night. This event that I had, that speech that I gave, was 2:45 a.m. I woke up. He usually wakes me up around that time. He woke me up. Read Deuteronomy. I will. 32, 34, I got it, I'll remember. And I'm laying in bed thinking, I'll remember. He knows me well enough. No, you won't. Get up now. I did. The answers are in Deuteronomy. Everything we need is in Deuteronomy. Everything. It's a counterintuitive solution. Let me start here. Corinthians. This is from the New Living Translation of the Bible. If you have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It is not boastful. It is not proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Sometimes I'm a little grumbly, though. It keeps no record of being wronged. Listen to that one. All these love movements, all these human rights movements, they keep detailed records of being wronged. Love makes no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice. Let us never rejoice on the pain on our foes. Never. Those who are oppressing, those who are silencing, those who are fighting against, pray for them. Pray for yourself that you will have love. Love for your enemy. It rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Rabbi, can you come here for a second? I went to Auschwitz. Auschwitz, you don't understand the Jewish people and what they've gone through. It's not just the Holocaust. It happens over and over and over and over and over again. The Holocaust was just the first one. The destruction of the temple in 70 AD made the Holocaust look like a picnic. Most people don't know that. 1492, 2 days before the Nina Pina de Santa Maria go over. Round up all the Jews. Bad. When I was at the in Auschwitz, I saw the room with the shoes. It's beyond your wildest imagination. But at the end of one of the rooms are the prayer shawls. And I thought to myself, who in their right mind in this situation puts a prayer shawl on and covers their head, covers the heads of their children and blesses them? Who does that? Thank you, Rabbi. Who does it? Only people who have been commanded by God and understand their covenants. Only those people can find hope where there is no hope, faith where there is no faith. It's a people who honor their covenants, and we must emulate them. We must strive to be as strong as the people who 2,000 years ago, their temple was taken, destroyed, their people wiped out over and over and over and over and over and over again. And they can't even pray on the Temple Mount. When they got the land in the 1960s, the famous phrase from the IDF was, "We have the Temple Mount." No, they didn't. They had it surrounded. But the rabbis told the military, "Stop, stop, 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 stop. That place is far too sacred. Do not step on top of the Temple Mount. You don't know where anything is. That is the Holy of Holies. Do not violate that space. Now, you've waited 2,000 years. You have it surrounded. You can take it, and you don't. You're either just dumb as a box of rocks, or something else is going on." It is an obedience to God. It is an honoring of God. Honor the people who have honored God for thousands of years and stood exactly where he told them to stand, protecting that space. Pastor, is he not coming back to that space? Yes, he is. If the Jews are not honoring that spot where the Lord stands, must be purified. He told them, stand there. And they are. And they are. And they're doing it with peace, and they're doing it with love. How do I know? Because I just did something that has never, ever, ever in the history of man been done before. And that is deliver a message to Christians and the rest of the world from that space. Never has anyone like me been allowed to do it. Never. And you know who proved it? The rabbi. The rabbi said to me, "I've been praying an awful lot." When they were trying to shut us out and everybody was putting pressure on, I said, "Rabbi, I don't want to cause any trouble. We'll move it if you feel that's where we need to be." No. I don't know what's supposed to happen. You don't either. But the Lord wants it here. And so we stood. And I offer a solution of love. I offered the solution of love. The human rights movements have been perverted. They are so upside down. David showed all those slides. They're so upside down, you don't even know what they mean anymore. They don't even know. Yes, they do know what they mean. It's not about love, and it's not about freedom. Dismiss them. Code Pink, all of these other groups, dismiss them. You have no power except the power of fear, and I'm not fearful. Amen. The Lord, it's like an elephant and a chihuahua. Everybody might think that little chihuahua is, you know, me really mean something to the elephant because it's barking and nipping its heel. At some point, the elephant doesn't even know the darn chihuahua is there. The elephant is Lord. These movements who are engaging in fear and intimidation, that's a chihuahua. Dismiss them. Dismiss the lies. Dismiss the corruption. Don't argue. Move on. When somebody said to me just last night, they said, Glenn, you know, I was at a place and, you know, I just didn't feel good about it. And I said to some people, you know, I don't really feel good. I don't know if I should be here. And blah, blah, blah. I said, what'd you do? Well, I don't know. I just kind of, I said, listen, you have that feeling again? You say to anybody in the room, does anybody else feel like kind of weird here? If everybody in the room says, no, I feel fine, say, good. You know what? I just remembered something else. And get out of there. Don't be sucked into anything. Keep your life absolutely pure. You have a responsibility now to do it. We're going to create... No. I am going to try to tap in and bring the millions of people that listen and watch me to you. To you. You're already doing much of the work. Nobody needs to reinvent the wheel. We just have to get together and start moving together. Not mixing our theology or anything else. Moving together as one. We each have a job to do. We each have, just like the Levites and the tribe of Judah, they each had a separate job. They were still part of the same movement. We must begin to move together. And we have to stop caring what people say about us. Believe me, you can't even. There was an article today, I think it was in the South African paper. I don't remember which one it was. Where they said, Glenn Beck is so anti-Semitic, he doesn't even know that he's transferred his anti-Semitism to the Arabs. They don't even make sense anymore. It doesn't bother me anymore. If you aren't doing something now, if you're, what you're engaged in does not have eternal principles, eternal values, if what you're engaged in right now, quite honestly, doesn't put your life, your business, your reputation in jeopardy, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's time to make a stand, and a stand for love, because love conquers absolutely everything. We are going to work with churches and synagogues and anybody who is understanding the message of love. We are going to put together a global coalition that is going to change the course of the world, and I ask you to stand with me on it beginning today. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they do. We're going to rebuild ourselves, our faith, our towns, our schools. We will feed the homeless, because when we do, the homeless wins, God wins, we win. The only ones that will lose will be hate, despair, hunger, lies. They'll all lose, because those things cannot occupy the same spot. Love and hate can't stand harm and harm. You've got to rid every bit of hate and anger outside. Get it out of you. Believe me. Believe me. It's really hard to love those who are trying to destroy you. But I have a healthy fear of the Lord. I'm telling you now, I've always felt the love of the Lord, even when I didn't deserve it. But I've never really understood the full meaning of fear the Lord. Fear him. He is the Lion of Judah. And he is about to roar. Fear the Lord. Make sure you're not dressed in meat underpants when he comes. I apologize, Pastor. I don't know what that was. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is alive. The, you know that movie, you know the end of the movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark with Indiana Jones? I know, I'm going to the whip stuff, but, and meat underpants. This is going horribly awry. Remember the end when they have the Ark of the Covenant and they open it up and he says, whatever the girl's name was, Lily, don't look at it. And it just vaporizes everything. I'm telling you, the power of the Ark of the Covenant, the power of God's covenants is alive and it's happening. And stand back and watch the miracles of the Lord because they are coming. The Palestinian Authority was running two specials last week. The myth of the Jewish temple. They're now saying it didn't even exist. They're now running a special on what they're going to do to the area of the Western Wall. It's going to be a nice housing project. Iran said last week, quote, we will wipe the Jewish people off of the map of history. In Egypt, which everybody was so cool with, just, hey, Arab Spring, rock on. They were holding signs last week that said, we are building the gas chambers. Believe those who tell you they will kill you. Believe them because they usually mean it. Now, what do? Well, Deuteronomy, what's the message of the Lord? Remember how good God has been. Remember how good he has been and obey him. Amen. We have to teach our children and obey. I'm out of time, aren't I? I'm good. Sorry. Let me just real quick. I put it on my website at glenbeck.com. A list of responsibilities. We are not going to be a human rights movement. Human rights are being squashed in many places around the world. They're also being squashed by those who are trying to appear as liberators here in our own country. It is a joke. Dismiss them. We are a human responsibilities movement. It is the bookend of Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King knew about his responsibilities. Do you think he wanted to do this? You think he wanted to stand up? Do you think he wanted to get killed? The man knew. The man knew. Nobody wants to be a martyr. Crazy people do. Martin Luther King knew what the cost would be. Look at the pictures of him. I've studied them. When he is marching and he is linked arm, the man knows. He had a responsibility. Look at our responsibilities. Because I have the right to choose, I recognize that I am accountable to God, and I have the responsibility to keep the Ten Commandments in my own life. Because I have the right to worship as I choose, I have the responsibility to honor those who worship. Because I have freedom of speech, I have the responsibility to defend the speech of others, even if I'm strongly disagreeing with what they're saying. We have responsibilities. Because I have the right to pursue happiness, I have the responsibility to show humility and express gratitude for the blessings that I have been given. Because I have the right to honest and good government, I will seek out honest and good government, and when I can't find it, I will be that man. Because I have the right, the God-given right to liberty, I have the personal responsibility to have courage to defend others in their security for their persons, their lives, and their property. Because I have the right to equal justice. I will stand up for those who are wrongly accused. Because I have the right to knowledge, I have the responsibility for my children and my education to live our lives in such a way that ensures the continuation of truth. Because I have the right to pursue my dreams and keep the fruits of my labor, I have the responsibility to feed, clothe, protect, and shelter my family, the less fortunate, the fatherless, and the old and infirm. Because I have the right to truth, I will not bear false witness, nor will I stand idly by while others do. These things, if we live this, if we stand together, will change the world. You declare these things. I want you to print them, pass them, live them. Tell everyone you know, forget about your rights. Your responsibility is what matters right now. Print them, leave them, give them to each other. Stand with people you don't always agree with, but begin to connect. And then you declare this. You declare this. When it comes to Israel, if the world really wants to know somebody to blame, if the world really wants to know who's standing with the Jews, if the world needs a target, raise your hand. Let it be me. You want to round people up? You round me up first. You want them? You're coming through me. God is a God of covenants that he keeps. He is a God of miracles, not of fear. Have no fear. God is with us. Amen.
Don't you appreciate Glenn Beck? What a powerful message we've received this morning. We are so blessed. I feel the Holy Spirit wants us to take a moment and lay hands upon Glenn Beck and pray over him. And I'm going to ask Dr. Mike Evans to take the microphone, please. Let me have some of our elders come and lay hands upon Glenn and speak a blessing over him in the name of the Lord.